We're going to save our child. The Bible said they fashioned a basket and put the child in the basket and launched him in the Nile River. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Amen. And isn't it strange? And the very thing that was fashioned and purported to be Moses' end ended up saving him. But the Bible says that he threw him in the water down the Nile. And just so happened, and providentially made, God sent Pharaoh's daughter out to take a bath in the Nile. Now, what it's leaving out is, this was a king. The king, even at that time, it was remarkable, but he had hot water, running water, and cold water in the palace. But the Lord made it so that she just wanted to take a bath in the Nile from that day. Oh, come on with me. And so she goes down to the Nile, her and her handmaids, and one of those handmaids just happened to be Moses' sister. And all of a sudden, I don't know how it happened, the baby started crying. The baby was in a thick of bushes on the Nile, and the baby started crying, drew her attention, and she went to see, and when she looked upon that child, she had to have it. Don't you see God working it out? Let somebody say, God's working it out for you. Look, it don't make sense right now. But God is working it out for you. Yeah, and he brings things together. Romans 8:28 says, all things. I feel like speaking. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called to his purpose. She takes the baby off. And remember, she's a princess. And the Hebrew, Moses' Hebrew sister said, go ahead and give one of the Hebrew maids to the child, so you don't have to. You don't want this message to go ahead. You can go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child, so you want to say, go get. And just so happens, when you got the boy's mom,
come on.
To get God working there. Lord, have mercy. So Moses is raised in a palace. Finest education as Pharaoh's adopted grandson. He gets the best of everything, the best of teaching, the best of food. For 40 years he's raised in the palace, but he's not happy. You know, some of us, you just can't please. What was making him unhappy was seeing his brother, and you know he knew who he was and where he came from. Although his mama told him, somebody told him. You think you're something? You got ideas, you know, people come and try to brush your bubble. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You think you're something else? You one of us. So Moses now heart longs for his people, who he see oppressed and oppressed. So I'm going to go back and look at who God uses. Somebody say favor. Right then, he had favor upon his life, but favor even will lead your life. You can mess things up right by yourself. Come on, somebody. Bible says that one day he had turned to a grown man. He saw one of his brethren being oppressed. And he intervened and escalated. And he ended up killing that individual. Now he goes from being one who has favor to being a felon. Who can God use this? A felon. Did y'all know that Moses was a killer?
Amen.
But God used him. In fact, the Bible calls him a friend of God. God can use anybody. Let me try to say God can use anybody. God can use a felon. Bible says that the very, I don't know, the next day maybe they saw him out and he tried to do the same thing and his own people said, what you going to do? You going to kill me like you did that Hebrew? So now he takes off and he goes from being a felon to being a fugitive. Runs off into the Median desert so that he can get away from Pharaoh's justice. Can I say right here, you might skip man's justice, but you won't skip God's justice. So I'm going to say, we got all shot free. No, I'm not going to get all shot free. You just ain't had to take a pirate in it.
Amen.
I'm saying it's quiet right there. I'm considering that you can understand who Moses was and who God will use. God will use a drug dealer. God will use an alcoholic. God will use a prostitute. Come here, rehab. God uses who he chooses. Let's not say He's on the back side of a mountain in the Midian desert. What you must need to know is that he's feeling kind of down right now. 40 years he was in the desert tending sheep that weren't even his. Bible says it belonged to Jethro, his father-in-law. You got to understand, Moses was a poor man at this point. He had nothing but the clothes on his back. He's dusty, he's dirty. And a rod in his hand. That's all he had. And the Bible says that all of a sudden he heard a voice that Moses. I'm going to get to my text. I'm trying to get you. It says, Moses. And all of a sudden he said, "Here am I." And he looked and he saw a bush on fire. Now, what you must be knowing is there's nothing out of the ordinary in the heat of the desert to see a bush on fire. But the strange thing about this bush that was burning is that it was not consumed. In other words, the bush has kept right on burning. And it kept right on burning. But more so than that, a voice came from the bush. And said, "Moses, take off your shoes."
Amen.
The ground that you're standing on is holy ground. I wish I had a church. Bible says that he spoke to God, and God called him to go and let his people go. In other words, God was sending him right back to what he was running from. Listen, I said, who are you running from? Maybe you ain't running from somebody. Maybe you're running from something. Anybody in here ever been on the run from something? Okay, I'll say it. So look now, that's why y'all had faith, because it ran away from that other church. Well, you ain't gonna say amen to that. You're gonna find that same devil over here in faith. The worst thing about anything is the people. Have I got a witness? I don't know about some of y'all, but the worst thing about my job are the people. Y'all ain't gonna say amen.
Amen, God.
Worst thing about a church is the people. So you might as well get used to the people. God was sending him right back where he was running from it. And he said, "Look, you go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And just like most of us, we instead of doing what God told us to do, we start giving a litany of excuses. Well, God, I can't go because, first of all, I'm slow of speech. I just stutter. And my pastor, God said, "Who made man's mouth? If you stutter, I know you stutter." That's why I say, "God knows what you can't do. God does not call us out of what we can do, but he calls us out of what we can't do."
That's right.
Why? So when we start doing it, we know it ain't us. Come on, somebody. Who will they call? He calls those who aren't ready or equipped. No, you can be ready. You can be equipped and not be ready. Am I right about it? You always stay, but you need to always stay ready, even though you ain't equipped. Come on. I was not ready to be a pastor. I was a recluse.
Amen.
Keep to myself, selfish, narcissistic. Y'all ain't gonna say amen.
Amen.
I ain't the only one in here. Selfish. Y'all got something anytime you want. And God took me and set me for a people and said, "Go ask." God can use anybody. Stop waiting till you think you're ready to go and just go. God does not call the equipped when he equips the call. Did you hear me? That's why I say you ain't got to be ready. All you got to be is willing to go. The question is, are you willing to go? I said, "That's what I'm trying to get you." Start giving all these excuses. But God said, "Who are those? They sin. They ain't going to listen to me." And God said, "You tell them I am sent you." He said, "I am that I am." If they ask you who I am, just say, "I am that I am." What he was saying is, "I am and I was and I always will be." And that's what everybody's saying is, you tell them God sent you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Because I got a witness. He's still telling God no when God said go. He's saying, God, I can't. Now, they won't listen to me. And that's where the text picks up. Have I got a witness?
Amen.
That's where the text picks up. Lord, I can see it.
Yeah.
It's in the text, he says, anointing.
Look for the anointing.
What God was really saying is, Moses, what are you holding on to? I'm going to listen for right here. Something in your life you're holding on to so much near and dear to your heart, that's why you can't grow.
All right.
Anybody who has in the palm of their hand their whole life is pathetic. Okay, I'm take a deep breath. Y'all got to get this. Y'all got to get this. This is my whole point right here. Some of you are holding on to your children.
Amen.
And you won't let go. I got three or four people right here. Either they ain't got children or they're going to let them go. I'm talking to you, man, Mom. Mommy, you're holding that child so tight. They'll never grow. They'll never reach that destiny because you won't let them go.
Amen.
Y'all, you treat life better. I'm going to be, it ain't going to get no better than what it's got right here. Whatever it is, I say, let it go. You got to let that thing go. God said, I see that step of gold on the ground. I'm going to pop right there. What are you doing? You're holding on to your job as if it's your life. You ever see somebody that ain't got a life? That's why they put so much validity in their job, because they ain't got no control at home.
All right.
That's why some of them come to church and want to run things, but they ain't got nothing to run at home. Don't come to faith because you done come to the wrong place. God's got this in control. Somebody say, let it go. God says, what can you hear, Moses? Notice God, and don't think God asked for information. He asked for instruction. Once he started concentrating on that staff, he was going to give some instructions about that staff. He said, throw it down. Notice this. The Bible says when he threw it down, it became. I just want to stop right there. Well, some of y'all guys hung up on that snake. Let me just say, we all been coming.
We are.
We ain't what we ought to be. But we're becoming what God wants us to be. You see that in the text? When Moses threw it down, the rod could become what God wanted it to become. When you let that child go, when you let that job go, when you let, oh Lord, have mercy. Whatever you're holding on to, but that death grip, when you let it go, it's going to become something. That's good, man. Is that in that culture, snakes were a god. Did you know that they worshiped snakes? No doubt it was the cobra, the very emblem that sat as a statue on Pharaoh's head. Lord, and the Bible says when it turned into a snake, he ran from it. I know what's in there. I can't see it, but I know what's in there. The fact that he ran for the Father because it always scares us to let go. But Lord, if I let him go, they might get me the wrong price. That's who am I talking to? If I let him go, yeah, I'll talk to the wife now. Stop checking up on him. He gonna do what he do. He gonna be who he be. Stop checking up on him. You checking up on him. All you doing is not, you gonna kick the can down the road. All you doing is rushing your heart rate a little bit quicker.
Okay.
But if it ain't no good at that, you wanna do it with the start. I'm gonna be preaching all right. See, the whole relationship got to be built on trust, and if you ain't got trust, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got trust, you ain't got nothing. That's why I said, let it go. We always are afraid to let go of that we hold on to. Let me tell you something. When you let it go, somebody say, let it go. You allow God to we are afraid to let go and let God. Can I tell you something? If you train up a child in the way that they should go, when they get old, they might stray from
them. Amen.
They would like to see it. That's what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
Well, it's done the best we could. They still went on to do what they want to do. But if you done planted that seed in there, I'm going to say it again. If you done planted that seed in there, somebody say they're going to come back.
Amen, Pastor.
Who's my son? You gotta let it go.
Yeah.
You gotta let control go. As long as you stay in control, God ain't in control.
That's right. Wow.
As long as you're in control, God's not in control. That's why I said, let it go. Until you let it go, the Bible says that he first of all, he let it go, he threw it down, and then it became what God wanted to become. In that case, it was a snake. And then he said, go back. That's why I said, face your fears. Whatever you are afraid of, some of you ain't been to the doctor because you're afraid of what they'll find. Let me tell you something, fool. If they find it, it's already there.
That's right.
It makes sense for you to know what's going on. Sticking your head in the sand ain't going to make it go away.
You know what?
That's why I say go to the doctor. That means you're in the physical. I'm talking to the men now. You need to get a physical. You need to get a physical. When do you need to make them get a physical? You might want to go. God said, let it go. God said, grab it by the tail. In other words, what he's saying is, trust me. I know what I'm doing. The Bible says that in his obedience, he threw it down. In his obedience, he touched it, grabbed it by the tail, and turned back into a stick.
Amen. Amen.
But it won't just a stick then.
Amen.
Why? Because he had been in the presence of God. Oh, we should have shouted. He had been in the presence of the Lord. And when it gets in the Lord's presence, it will never, ever be the same. We know the story. The story goes on. And it goes, finally, after giving excuse after excuse. He did finally go. I just want to say this. 40 years, he was in Pharaoh's palace. 40 years. Somebody said, that's a long time. That's a long time. He stayed in the desert with nothing. He didn't even own the sheep that he was tending. It was his father-in-law's sheep. Somebody said, 80 years old.
80 years old.
At 80 years old, God called him into service. That lets us know, Lord, have mercy. That it's never too late to be what you could have been.
Amen.
Y'all be saying. I said it's never too late to be what God has chosen you to be. It's never too late for your day of destiny. It's never too late for you to be what you could have been.
Amen.
I say it ain't too late.
Yeah.
80 years old. And this is just my last point. Y'all know there's another 15 minutes. This is my last point. See, the last one I want to bring to you is Moses at that point thought his life was wasted.
That's right.
Put yourself in this position. All he had in his life was that rod and clothes on his back. He didn't own nothing. He felt like his whole life was wasted. His heart was to free his people. Look at somebody say, nothing you've been through. Look at somebody say, nothing you've been through.
Nothing you've been through.
It's wasted. No. You thought it was wasted. But nothing you've been through is wasted. The Bible says, even the youth shall faint, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yeah.
They shall mount up like on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm okay, that's the word that gets my face. That's all somebody. I'm like, you don't get from the Lord. Was wasted, but everything you've been through was going to prepare you for your future.
Yeah.
He could not lead the flock of God until he led a flock of sheep. Where is he going to lead them? We know, we're privy to the story. For 40 years he's going to be in the desert. Who better to lead them than Moses? Moses knew the weather patterns. Moses knew the cracks, the dangers, and the turns in the desert. Moses knew what to look out for. So God was preparing getting him ready to deliver his people out of Egypt. It's my son, God is preparing you. God is preparing you. God ain't got to pray. Whatever you're holding on to is holding on to you too. Some of you are crippling your children. Some of you are crippling your young spouses. because you're more free. They would be trustworthy, but you always look down their back. You make them feel like they're doing something wrong with angel in that moment. Lord, and you know, you can't judge everybody by 4 minutes to see to them.
Amen.
I'll come to you, man.
Amen.
I ain't gonna never be hurt like that again. You won't never be hurt like that again. You never love again, nor will you be loved. That's why I say you gotta let it go. Some of you are hovering and holding on to ill feelings you got for somebody that did you wrong. You're the one that's debilitated. You're the one worrying about it. You're the one that loses sleep over it. They can't go on about that by now.
Amen.
I said, let it go. Until you let it go, it can never become, and you can't become what God wants you to become. Moses had to let go of his inhibitions and trust God. He had to do contrary to the way he felt. Can you see him trying to touch that state? Finally, he said, not by me. The God will be done.
Yeah.
And he grabbed him and he changed back. And the story goes very quickly as I take my seat. We know that he went and told Pharaoh all that God had said. And the Lord had told him what to do. He threw the snake down. The snake down and turned into a snake. Pharaoh said, you think that's something? He said, I got magicians that can do that. Satan always was trying to copy. So even when he got his magicians, and they threw their little snakes down, and they turned into snakes too. He said, see that? Well, something very strange happened. The Bible said that one of these snakes started eating up that shit.
All right.
Well, what does that tell us? What does that tell us? That's telling us, stop worrying about your problem and stop worrying about the problems that people give you. If you trust God, your problems will eat up their problems. And so, you know what? When your problems eat up their problems, there won't be no problems.
That's right.
You don't get a miss that.